Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February 1st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Kay Whitlock is away today. So is our ag expert for Wednesdays, Drew Lerner. No need to fear. The folks at Chesapeake Energy will take on the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions around the globe. Dave Dickey will be along too today. That'll happen in just a moment. He'll cover all the day's agricultural news, including more on President Bush's alternative fuels push. During last night's State of the Union address, he talked in particular about ethanol. It happens on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished like this. The March wheat at 339 and a quarter, down 4 cents. May at 350 and a quarter, off 4 and a quarter. Kansas City March wheat at 393, down 4 and a half. Chicago Board of Trade March corn, 216 and a half, down 2 and a quarter today. The May futures at 226 and a half, off 2 and a half cents. And July corn at 236, down 2. December futures at a penny and three quarters lower, 254, the settlement price there. Soy complex now, March soybeans, 579 and a half, down 14 and three quarters. The May futures down 14 and a half, 592 and a quarter, the settlement price. July beans, 603, off 13 and a half cents. And the November futures were down 12 and three quarters at 616 and three quarters. Bean meal, March contract 181.20, down 380. March bean oil at 21.82. They were off 53 today. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby feeder cattle finished the March contract at $109.27. They were off 55 cents today. And the Feb live cattle at $93.05 were down 50 cents.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
One of their number from the Mercantile Exchange, the Lean Hogs February contract at 56.22 and a half. Up 27 and a half cents for the day. Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and I'm sure to discuss last night's State of the Union address by President George Bush is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. A beautiful day in the Midwest.
It is a great day in the Midwest. So here we are on the day after the president talks about ethanol a great deal, actually, in his State of the Union address, though I was busy doing other things last night. I got the gist of it, and we're hearing about actually underwrites on WILL and NPR supporting ethanol from GM. Is it all good? And then why are prices lower?
Well, first of all, we want to congratulate the Fighting Illini on their win against Wisconsin last night to bring out, unify everybody. One of the things that we noticed is that we know indirectly from the State of the Union, we know that John Deere, for example, is up $3.45. So investors are looking at the talk about energy and switchgrass and other related ethanol issues as positive to that big Illinois company, John Deere. You know, it is exciting, and this thing about using ethanol, and we've talked about it at some of our Outlook meetings, that in Brazil, the fourth largest economy in the world, that they're spending a lot of money and have spent a lot of money on converting sugarcane into ethanol. The car companies down there are manufacturing E85 automobiles, brand new cars that are can use that new technology. And, of course, we're manufacturing new technology. Bill Ford is pushing new Ford automobiles, and I think General Motors as well, using E85 technology. The big thing here is we know we have an abundance of coal here in the state of Illinois, and we have an abundance of corn. The one issue that's interesting is that 1 acre of sugarcane equals 4 acres of corn in total utilization. We need all the help. We hope the land-grant colleges, you know, push the issue. And it should be a win-win deal for American agriculture because, you know, let's face it, the commodity prices are cheap, and farmers do need support, and this is one way that we think we can ultimately improve at least prices and give them economic growth that they much deserve.
And then let's talk about this down day in Chicago. Soybeans were off 14¾ cents. Is that all due to rainfall in Argentina?
Yes, it is. And, of course, the one meteorologist that was ahead of everybody else was Freeze Notice. So they were predicting rainfall a little quicker than the other people, and they finally came on board. We did see some good rains, anywhere from a half to three quarters to an inch and a half of rain in some of those very dry growing areas in Argentina. Ultimately, it will reoccur there and also into Brazil, and they needed it. And this is maybe a crop-saving rainfall that we like to think that happens maybe the August 1st, July, middle of July type rainfall that sometimes helps us a great deal in central Illinois. So this is a big lifesaver rain. The rainfall pattern looks normal. Of course, the meteorologists are still stingy on rainfall in the winter wheat growing areas of the West, but we did see these commodity prices lower in Chicago.
Yeah, in fact, I'm not sure what Don Day had to say yesterday during the closing market report. I was away and busy.
But I think most of
Chesapeake
the people
Energy
came
on
Monday board, you know, with rainfall events, and we did see it last night, and that's the reason why the night session was lower and the follow-through with the selling today.
Yeah, I was trying to pat Chesapeake Energy on the back on Monday with us because they held to their stance and said, yeah, it's going to rain.
Well, good. We deserve a pat. Give them a nice pat on the back.
You bet. We'll talk to them again later this afternoon. We'll give them more praise and see if they can continue to get it right. So what do we do if we're corn and soybeans and we're long those things?
The trend changed at 594 and a half either last night or, you know, on the opening this morning. The trend in soybeans is down, and, of course, the arithmetic is clear that if we do have a normal crop, the carryover this year was 245, and this crop that we just harvested is 505, I think, by the USDA. And projections for this next year that we're still harvesting, that hasn't been planted yet, is, you know, over 600 million bushels by some of the think tank people. Some people also say the USDA doesn't have the carryover right, and it's really closer to 595 this year. So it is interesting, and the fundamentals are very overwhelmingly bearish on soybeans. We do think a year from now, soybean oil is going to be reflective of diesel fuel and energy related. But right now, it's down 53 cents, and it was related to bigger production in the world on soybeans.
Let me ask you one other question. Did you hear a conversation on Commodity Week over the past weekend about, and not really about inflation, but just about the move higher and the number of dollars that were available in the economy and how that may be pushing, holding price levels in the corn and the beans above where fundamentally they look like they ought to be?
Well, yes, we did. And it was an interesting comment. And you know, I think that my comment is generally this: that crude oil is close to $70 a barrel, and corn's very close in the cash market of $2 a barrel. And one of the first lessons when I became a commodity broker at Tabor Grain in 1971 is follow those commodities that are really trending and are really bullish. And yes, I'm bullish crude oil. Unfortunately, I'm not very bullish the corn and soybeans at this time.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us today.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons. You can hear him on the Opening Market Report on Wednesday mornings. That happens at 9:50 when he talks with Dave Dickey. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy about the weather forecast for the global growing regions. Our own Mike Solikoff for across the two-state region. To tonight, partly to cloudy, mostly cloudy skies. He says the lows will be from 27 in northern Illinois to about 40 in southern Indiana. In northern Illinois tomorrow, he says it'll be cloudy, a few flurries and scattered showers in the south, mostly cloudy and some showers likely. Elsewhere, he says it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow from 44 in the north to 55 in southwestern Illinois. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, President Bush's State of the Union address contained strategies for developing new sources of energy, including an advanced energy initiative. The plan would increase Department of Energy funding by 22% for research on clean energy, like zero-emission coal-fired power plants, new solar and wind energy technology, and cleaner nuclear energy. And the president said the initiative would also focus on research to replace gasoline, including hydrogen-powered and electric vehicles, and on boosting U.S. ethanol production.
We'll also fund additional research in cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn, but from wood chips and stalks or switchgrass. Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and competitive within 6 years.
Bush said the overarching goal of his Advanced Energy Initiative is simple: to end U.S. dependence on Middle Eastern petroleum.
Breakthroughs on this and other new technologies will help us reach another great goal: to replace more than 75% of our oil imports from the Middle East by 2025. By applying the talent and technology of America, this country can dramatically improve our environment, move beyond a petroleum-based economy, and make our dependence on Middle Eastern oil a thing of the past.
The U.S. currently imports 60% of its petroleum supply, much of it from the Middle East. President Bush also renewed his call to make permanent the temporary tax cuts approved by Congress in 2001 and 2003. The sign-up period for the next round of Conservation Security Program watersheds begins February 13th and runs through March 31st. Producers with a majority of their land in the Upper Sangamon watershed are eligible. The watershed includes portions of Champaign, Christian, DeWitt, Ford, Logan, Macon, Piatt, Sangamon, and Shelby counties. The lower Cache was originally expected to be eligible, but was removed for 2006 due to budget constraints. The Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, a group of family farm and conservation organizations, is demanding USDA release a database to the public that tracks farm program payments for the last 5 years. USDA Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services J.B. Penn revealed the existence of the database in January, saying it was created under the authority granted by the 2002 Farm Bill. Penn says there are 352 million records in the database going back to 2001. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the database will give him additional ammunition in his continued fight for lower payment limits. Grassley pledged to bring up the issue again for the FY 2007 budget.
I'm looking for every opportunity I can, two things. One, to have sound farm policy, and number two, not to have cuts in agricultural programs come off the backs of every farmer. If we've got 10% of the farmers getting 72% of the benefits out of the federal treasury, it seems to me that they ought to pay a larger portion than the average farmer would pay.
And Grassley adds producers need to understand that even if payment limits are not lowered in FY 2007, they likely will be lowered in the 2007 Farm Bill. The chairman of the House Ag Committee, Bob Goodlatte, and USDA Secretary Mike Johanns are not seeing eye to eye on Japan's latest ban on U.S. beef, imposed January 20th after illegal spinal material was discovered in a shipment of veal. Goodlatte is demanding Japan open its border immediately. Johanns refused to make any demands, in fact, saying he expects it will take time to complete an inspector general investigation of the incident.
I had an opportunity to meet with the delegation from Japan, and I would describe our meeting as very candid, very frank, talked a lot about issues relating to beef, so I thought it was very helpful. I pledged to them that we're anxious to work with their scientists, with anyone that wants to be a part of this effort, and so, and I also indicated to them that if they returned to the United States, that I would be very, very happy to meet with them again.
Meanwhile, a new poll by a Japanese newspaper shows 87% of adult Japanese consumers approve the latest ban. Only 8% are opposed. And U.S. trade officials say they expect a World Trade Organization dispute settlement panel this week will issue its report on the U.S. case against the European Union over its failure to approve new bioengineered crop varieties. The officials, speaking in a background briefing for reporters, said the report will be the longest in WTO history, running to hundreds of pages. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Well, up next, the federal crop insurance plans for farmers in the Midwest will be updated March the 1st. Farmers need to make those coverage decisions by the 15th of that month. The University of Illinois has updated the crop insurance calculators on the FarmDoc website. The federal crop insurance programs help farmers manage risk. The U of I, through its FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu, give them a tool to compare how those products might pay out on their individual farms. Ag economist Gary Schnitke just finished putting updated estimates into the calculators. He says the insurance products haven't changed very much from last year.
There are some changes to the group products this year, which would be GRP and GRIP. The GRIP products, which are the revenue products, last year they based their base price, or what they calculated their revenue guarantees on the settlement prices during the last 5 days of February. This year they're going to do it for the entire month of February, which makes it the exact same as CRC and RA. So that change makes life a little bit easier for everybody.
There's one other change in the GRIP product. It includes a limit move of $1.50 for the corn and $3 for the soybeans. This year, like last, Schnitke says if the base price stays where it has been in the month of January, about $2.40 for corn, and between $5.80 and $6 for soybeans, then the calculators found on the FarmDoc site suggest in many cases farmers would be best served by purchasing the CRC or GRIP product.
Which one of those you take is pretty much your comfort level. The group products, or GRIP, will tend to return more money over time, and at least in Illinois they do, compared to the CRC or RA, but they provide a little bit less risk protection. So that's the trade-off. So a revenue product, CRC, RA, or GRIP would be the three products that give good attention to.
He means a farmer should be sure to run the numbers on those three products when using the crop insurance calculators from the FarmDoc website. The calculators are capable of comparing all of the crop insurance risk management tools offered by the federal government.
FarmDoc website, if you look at the left-hand side of it, there's a crop insurance section, and we have a premium calculator, risk evaluator, and downloadable spreadsheet tools that you can do a lot of neat analysis on.
The downloadable tools are Excel spreadsheets, so you'll need to own a copy of Microsoft Excel in order to run the tool. Given that, they are all available online as web-based tools as well, and you simply access and run them from your computer in the web browser. It's easy to do. For the premium calculator, you just pick the tool. Use the pull-down menu to choose one of the 12 states in the Midwest, followed by the county, the crop, and then put in your APH. It will return premiums for the 7 products at each of the coverage levels. Be warned, the final crop insurance figures cannot be calculated until after March 1st because it's based on February prices. The current numbers are estimates. crop insurance decisions are due March 15th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Here are four great reasons to support WILL Radio. In alphabetical order, agribusiness updates, election coverage, local news, weather reports. At AM 580, we connect you to information that can help you make decisions that affect your life. Join the friends of WILL and help ensure the future of this community resource.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580. Jim Kripe of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. He's in this afternoon for Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain, who is away. Good afternoon to you, Jim. Thanks for filling in. Appreciate it.
Todd, appreciate being asked.
Tell me about the marketplace there around Delphi and what farmers were asking today as the beans fell fairly sharply.
Well, the question call after call today was, you know, what's happened to the bean market? Well, that's a good question. The funds were here last week in force on nearly every day, and a little bit of a wetter forecast in South America, and they didn't show up to buy it today. Can't say, though, that it was farmer selling, at least from this neighborhood, that put any pressure on the beans here today.
And then as you look out over the next week, what are your expectations?
Well, I would guess from a cash standpoint, if the board remains kind of in a free fall or at least on this lower end, I would suspect that movement slows once again and that local processors and rail shippers as ourselves will be feeling the slowdown and basis could perk back up. We have had a little bit of a sell-off. 2 to 3 cents in corn, maybe a couple cents in beans here just in the last 10 days. So we expect to get that basis back here over the next 10
are
days.
Are you satisfied that the South American crop and rainfall in Argentina is a good enough reason to really move the beans lower?
No, I'm not sure it's a good enough reason to have run it up last week, though, either. So I think it's more of a money flow is what drove it up, and I think we always look for excuses after the fact, Todd.
Indeed we do. That's true. What are you hearing about acreage here in the Midwest, and in particular around your area in Delphi, which I think is not too terribly far from Lafayette, Indiana?
No, we're just northeast Lafayette. There's a lot of talk about acreage shift and so on, as everybody's read, but you know I really can't say that I have individual cases or can document any local shift of an increase in soybean acres any more than just the normal rotation from year to year.
And then your bids for the day, if you have them available?
Sure do. We're at 16 under the March here at Delphi for nearby corn. That puts us at $2. New crop corn bid at 25 under. Soybeans, we're at 27 under the March, nearby at 552. New crop beans, also 25 under the November.
Jim, we appreciate you being with us today.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
Jim Kripe is with the Andersons out of Delphi, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report, filling in this afternoon for Kay Whitlock, who was away. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the agricultural meteorologist at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast for the global regions around the world, including an update on what's been happening in Argentina and the rainfall there. We'll check on very cold conditions that were expected and actually came to fruition across much of the former Soviet states and parts of Europe last week, and an update on what we can expect in the drought-stricken areas of the Southwest. That happens in just about 2 minutes. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Prosecutors say former Illinois Governor George Ryan invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination to avoid testifying before a federal grand jury. Prosecutor Patrick Collins revealed that information today to U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer, who was overseeing Ryan's corruption trial. The remark came as prosecutors were trying to finish presenting evidence in the 18-week trial and rest their case before the day is over. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Manekin is urging Congress to protect the privacy of people's cell phone records. She wants to make it harder for someone to obtain phone records and then sell them to the public. Manekin is speaking to the House Energy and Commerce Committee today in Washington. She says Congress should consider requiring phone companies to step up protection of their records and not interfere with any tougher laws that states might pass. After hours of debate, Democrats and Republicans in Indianapolis still have not voted on Governor Mitch Daniels' highway plan. The heart of the 10-year plan is the governor's request to lease the Indiana Toll Road to a private consortium for 75 years. The bill must clear the full Indiana House by midnight Thursday. Bucking the governor and some fellow Republicans, Indiana State Schools Chief Sue Ellen Reed says the state should not move its statewide testing to the spring. Reed says it would cost the state $45 million to move the test from fall to spring, as Governor Daniels and other Republicans propose. United Airlines has officially exited Chapter 11 with documents filed today in U.S. bankruptcy court. United is marking the event in low-key fashion all day by sending top executives to airports around the country to thank United employees and customers for their patience. Under the restructuring that began in 2002, the Elk Grove Village-based airline has trimmed its workforce by 30% and now flies 20% fewer planes. But United also has increased its international routes, on-time arrivals, and the percentage of seats filled. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, not by Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He's away this afternoon, but by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Hi, Mark.
Hi there, Todd.
I want to congratulate you up front. We talked about you folks just a few minutes ago on our futures segment when we were discussing the rainfall in Argentina. I do recall our conversation on Monday when we were split among many of those calling or not calling for rain. And you folks said, yeah, it's going to rain, and I think it's going to do a pretty good job of it. And apparently you were right, so congratulations on that. Now tell us what's going to happen next.
Well, thank you, Dad. Well, certainly this unsettled pattern, which really has kicked off in a big way with the significant rainfall over the past 24 hours in Argentina, will continue through the upcoming weekend, especially into Saturday. So, you know, the weather maps that we saw this morning showing the 24-hour precip totals across Argentina, that will likely be repeated. As we come in tomorrow morning and on to Friday morning and Saturday morning, it's the setup just conducive for very heavy rainfall development across Argentina.
And will that rain move northward into Brazil?
It does look like that'll move into Brazil. Now, that's not going to be until the upcoming weekend, but it does look like this zone of action now across Argentina will be pushing up into Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná there in southern Brazil as we go into the Sunday-Monday time frame.
And did the folks in parts of Europe and the old Eastern Bloc countries get relief from that cold weather condition that they had last week?
Well, briefly, Todd, yeah, they've warmed up, but they've still remained a little bit below normal. Still, you're seeing low temperatures drop into the single digits and teens across that area, and it does look like another shot of Arctic air, somewhat similar to the bitter cold that they got there back over a week ago. Now, their snow cover across areas such as Russia and Ukraine is, at least their snow depth is greater than it was back over a week ago. But with another significant cold blast, certainly that's something to watch again.
And if I recall, we were worried about this cold blast sweeping around the globe and coming down through Canada and actually picking up some of the cold areas here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks to be the case here coming up with now the flow pattern across North America is going to be changing to one conducive, so bringing some pretty significant cold. And that really looks to start over the upcoming weekend here with our kind of first batch of Arctic air moving down into the eastern half of the country. But it looks like beyond that, we see additional surges of Arctic air. So, you know, our historic warm January is not only looking at the calendar, but it's officially over with this colder pattern developing here for a good portion of Feb.
Another couple of days under our belt since I talked to you last. Anything changing in Texas and the dry areas of Missouri, Arkansas?
No, Todd, we continue to see some minor precip events across that area, but all your significant precip is up across the northern plains on into our sections here in the Midwest, in the Delta area, but for our hard red winter wheat areas there in the southern plains, no sign of any big storms that would significantly make up these long-term precip deficits.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Thank you.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report, usually on Monday afternoons, filling in this afternoon for Drew Lerner, who happens to be away. And that is this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, if you want to pick up the futures segment, the weather segment, the cash grain segment, again, you can do that along with hearing Commodity Week from over the weekend or just about anything else that we do on the agricultural programming right here on your Agricultural Information Advantage. On our website, the address is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM, and then, as always, agriculture. I'll be back in just a moment. I'm Todd Gleason.